I'm not taking up a collection for myself. Okay, so we are ready to start the Mishnayos of the 8th chapter. So it begins with the basic age qualifications for Ben Sorer Umora. I mentioned this is really one of my favorite topics. So Ben Sorer Umora, Me'ema Sainasa Ben Sorer Umora. How old do you have to be? Mishiyavishtei Sa'aros V'yad Yakib Sakan Hatachton V'lo Ha'elyon Ha'shadibber Chachamim V'lashon Nekiya Shenemar Kieli Yish Bein V'lo Bas. We'll talk about that in a second. Can only be a male, not a female. Bein V'lo Ish. Can't be a fully grown man, even though it can't be a katan either, because a katan pater shelo ba lichlal mitzvos. So, halachically speaking, the entire age range of a ben sorer mora is only 3 months, so it's from the time that he turns bar mitzvah, because again, it can't be a katan, because a katan doesn't have any chiyuvim in the formal sense of the term, isn't subject to onshin, punishments, and ben sorer mora is some kind of an onesh. And yet, because the pasuk says kia leish bain soer mora, it's bain velo ish. So how can it be gadol and not an ish? So it says ben hasamach legvuraso shel ish, that he hasn't reached his full strength yet in terms of his manhood, but he's something close to it. So it's the first 3 months following his bar mitzvah. And the most interesting part here is ben velo bas. You know, why should a woman be exempted from this? You know, if the whole thing is about, you know, certain behavior now that could lead to even worse behavior later. So Rabbi Shimon says in the Gemara, he says, really, it should apply to a woman because even though it's unlikely that if she gets addicted to something, she's going to become a violent murderer, but she could become a harlot and try to earn money that way, and wouldn't that be just as bad? But it's a gzeiras hakasov ben velo bas. So the Rambam made things very complicated because on the one hand, he seems to quote that view that this is all gzeiras hakasov, there's no intrinsic rationale for why it should be a male as opposed to a female. But at the very same time, the Rambam then goes on to say, but also there's a reason for it, which is that it's unlikely for a woman that she's going to become addicted to meat and to wine in this particular way. So all the Nosei Kelim on the Rambam want to try to understand, like, well, which one is it? If it's a Gzeiras HaKasev, doesn't need a reason. And if there's a reason for it, so then it's not a Gzeiras HaKasev. So I think what the Rambam was trying to say, and this is of a very long shir, but just the 30-second version of it would be to say the following, that what the Rambam says is, look, it's just as likely that a woman could get involved in very unhealthy behaviors, addictive kind of behaviors, that would then continue into her adulthood. But the Gzeiras HaKasev part of it is that the Torah only legislated this in the case of addictive behavior as it relates to meat and to wine. You know, there are lots of things that could lead to addiction, jeweling, cigarettes, drugs, you know, and the Torah only spoke about meat and wine, so that's the aspect that's Gzeiras HaKasev, that, you know, why should the Torah have limited to that kind of addictive behavior? But that's what I would say for the Rambam. So then the question becomes, so how much wine and how much meat? Me'ema say chayev. So again, we already dealt with the age, that it's from age 13 to 13 and 3 months, because 13 and 3 months, he could already become closer to a father. Mishiyochal tartimar basar v'yishta chatzi log yayin haitalki. So according to the Chachamim, he has to eat a tartimar, a certain unit of meat, and drink half a log. Normally the shear of drinking is a revius. So this is twice a revius, is a quarter of a log. So this is half a log, however big you think a revius is. There's a whole discussion about how big a revius is, but it's twice a revius of yayin haitalki, of Italian wine, because that's the most attractive and intoxicating and ultimately addicting kind of a wine. So Rabbi Yossi Omer, he doubles all this year. Mana basar velog yayin. That tartimar is a chatzi mana, is a full mana, and a full log of yayin. And there's some Rishonim, according to the Rambam, that seem to think that you actually have to have it all at once. So like you're chugging the wine down and, like, you know, eating meat. Like, I don't know, it's hard to even describe in words. Then the Mishnah goes on to say, but you have to do it in such a way that it's addictive. So if it's in the context of a mitzvah, so mitzvahs usually have limits to them, so you can't be chayev mishum ben sorer mora. So achol bechaburas mitzvah, achol be'ibur achodesh. Let's say it used to be that when the rabbis would add a day to the month, they used to make a little seuda. But again, that's not the kind of thing that you could get addicted to. At most, it's, you know, once a month, you know, so again. Achol ma'iser sheni b'Yerushalayim. You know, ma'iser sheni, that's, you know, once a year. Achol nevelu sutrevo shkatzir b'masim. Or if you ate things that were aser entirely, then you're not going to be subject to din of ben sorer mora, because as the Gemara explains, the whole point is that you're rebelling against your parents, not against God. Okay, achol davar shu mitzvah v'davar shu avera. The Gemara goes on to explain. It says, I thought we already covered that subject. So it says, you know, even a mitzvah derabanan, like you ate at a su'uda of tanchume avelim, a su'uda savara, a davar shuhu avera, even if it's just an eating on a fast day, which is rabbinic in nature. Even if a person is gluttonous and he's eating, I don't know, all the tofu in the world, sounds funny, or drinking, you know, all the orange juice in the world, none of that qualifies. And Onasa ben Soramurach, Yocho Basar Vishta Yayin Shnemar, Zolel Vasove, Babavishan Rayaladavar, there's no proof that Zolel Vasove is a reference to Basar Vayayin, says the Mishnah, Zecheladavar Shnemar, as it says in Sefer Mishle, Al Tahi Besove Yayin, Bezolele Basar Lamo. You should not be amongst those who are drinking wine in an addictive, intoxicating manner, and those who are gluttonous with respect to basar. So again, you know, this is the way that I interpreted that first Rambam as to why it only applies to a male and not to a female, even though Rabbi Shimon seems to be absolutely correct that women can get involved in all kinds of dangerous behaviors in their youth that are going to lead them to do even worse things once they become addicted and they, you know, need to pay for their addiction somehow. So Rabbi Shimon seems to be right about that. The very fact that the Torah, for whatever reason, chose to limit it to basar v'yayin, there's no intrinsic rationale for that. The Torah felt that it was much more likely that a male would develop that kind of a gluttonous addiction than a female. I think that remains true to this very day. You know, like my wife went to a pseudo women's only bat mitzvah and Motzei Shabbos. I said pseudo because, you know, there were like 30 men there anyway. But what was the what do you think they served? What's that? A bat mitzvah, women's only bat mitzvah. Like, what do they have at the mikvah? What do they have at the annual mikvah dinner? Like baked ziti, eggplant parmesan. There's a salad bar, you know. And what are they going to have here at the Super Bowl party? You think you can have, you know, baked ziti? Yeah. So they're going to have. You're going to have poppers, and so ad hayom hazeh. So it seems to apply in that way that men and women. There seems to be some kind of a gender divide when it comes to food preferences. I have no rational explanation for this, but maybe some anthropologists can explain it. But it has left us with a 21st century legacy of Super Bowl parties with chopsticks sponsoring. And bat mitzvahs, with Shelley sponsoring. So there you have it.